Hey, you want that to go?
Our first takeout continues our terrorism and extremist theme, from terrorism in Moscow to so-called Christian warrior militia groups, arrests taking place in the Midwest. We'll have more about that later on this morning, to a precedent-setting hearing that took place yesterday in a Chicago federal court that involves the terrorism in the Mumbai Thanksgiving attacks that took place in 2008. Rob Wildebohr covers federal courts for Chicago Public Radio and joins us from the Windy City. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, this sentence or this hearing involved a defendant, or I don't even know if he isn't actually a defendant. He's a Pakistani-born Canadian man. His name is Tahawar Rana. He's accused of involvement in those 2008 terror attacks in Mumbai that killed more than 160 people. It seems like a murky bit of jurisdiction. How did the hearing go yesterday?
The hearing was actually reporters, the public, we were all, prevented from going in for a couple minutes because this was a hearing about classified information. But shortly, a couple minutes into the hearing, we were let in because I think prosecutors told the judge, we're not actually going to share classified information today. We're just going to give a schedule about how we're going to give classified information to the defense over the next 6 months. And then it was just actually a rather boring hearing on scheduling. But the fact is, the U.S. attorney here in Chicago, a well-known prosecutor across the country, Patrick Fitzgerald,
sure.
He is working personally on this case, and he told the judge that there's a substantial amount of classified information.
And before we get to the classified information, let's talk about the person who's sort of in the crosshairs here, is Tahawar Rana. He's a Pakistani-born Canadian man. Is this an extradition hearing? Do we know precisely what his involvement was in the Mumbai attacks?
Well, he is actually he was living in Chicago, and he has a business in Chicago. It's an immigration business. And now there's another defendant in this case, David Headley, who you may have
right,
heard of.
Sure.
And he is the one who's charged with actually going to Mumbai and scouting out locations and planning that way. He's pleaded guilty and is cooperating with prosecutors. He has told prosecutors that he went to Mumbai acting like an employee of Rana's, even though he wasn't an employee of the immigration business. And he says he did that with Rana's okay, and that Rana, they had talked about the plan in advance. And prosecutors say when Rana heard about the Mumbai terror attacks that Rana said, oh, good, very good, and was on board that way.
Well, Rob Wildebohr, often when a hearing contains a lot of tantalizing classified information, they try to make it as boring as possible. What sorts of evidence does the government believe that Mr. Rana knows a lot more about?
Well, in terms of the classified information, of course, we don't know anything about that. And it's interesting the way they're going about doing it, because it's using this 1981 law called SEPA, which is called the Classified Information Procedures Act. And it basically allows prosecutors to introduce evidence in a public courtroom without kind of actually introducing the evidence. They might use part of the evidence. And the reason for doing that is, like, say you've got a confidential informant and you want to introduce the evidence into the court, but you don't want people to know who the confidential informant is. This law allows them to do that, but at the same time, it kind of presents a constitutional quandary, because it's hard for defense attorneys to cross-examine information without actually having the informant there. At the same time, a lot of people like this law because it allows the government to prosecute these cases in federal courts, in American courts, instead of military tribunals or holding someone indefinitely. But there is definitely this kind of constitutional quandary about using this SEPA law and about using classified
right.
information in this way in these kinds of cases.
And whether it can get into a pretty huge file cabinet that the government claims might have some information bearing on this case. Rob Wildebohr covers federal courts for Chicago Public Radio, talking about the hearing for Tahawar Rana and the Mumbai terror attacks in 2008.
Let's go to our listeners for our next takeout. All this week we are getting schooled. We're talking about educational policies in our country and how they may change. But when it comes to trying to find the problem, what's wrong with education, even that becomes a disagreement.
Do we blame doctors for all the smoking and all the obesity in this country? No, let's not blame teachers for the students who are not putting in the hard work.
This is Robert Madison from Denver, Colorado. I'm a professor of education at a college in South Carolina, and I am tired of hearing about how bad teachers are. I'd like to know where all the parents are. Because as a person who's been in this business for over 30 years, I've seen a lot more poor parents than I've seen poor teachers.
And we've certainly got a lot of stories from our listeners on great teachers that they've had in the past, but it has started a good conversation about teachers.
A lot of passions on both sides there in education. Several of them weighed in at thetakeaway.org. We got a piece of advice from Hara, Oklahoma, from Pat, who posts, I'm a retired teacher. I think longer school hours and a longer school year could improve our nation's education. The school day is chopped into so many little pieces, it's hard to cover essential facts and be creative and encourage critical thinking skills. Also, a longer day helps working families. As a teacher, I thought, hooray, at 2:40, but actually, this is just the middle of the afternoon. Children with working parents must be shuttled off to daycare or worse. Be home alone.
And Sharon writes, I've been working with gifted students since 1991. The power of interest-based learning has always been emphasized to me for increasing student achievement. My concern is how we're taking out the human variable in learning. I feel more emphasis is being put on data with little focus on the individual.
Professor David Seeley at City University of New York had this to say, education is a shared responsibility of home, school, and community, not just schools. The community schools movement and some whole cities are trying to shift over to this approach, but it's difficult if the media keep emphasizing the schools alone mindset. Good point.
Lots of great ideas from our listeners. It's giving us a good reality check on our schools because not every American school is just a brick building. Keep giving us your great ideas. Today we're going to pose some of them to our Education Secretary, Arne Duncan. And today we're thinking about the national curriculum. Obviously, it would include reading and math, but what's one other class you think should be required? Let us know at 8778-MYTAKE or at thetakeaway.org.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.